Hello, I'm Elena Del Valle, and this is the HispanicNPR.com podcast. My guest today is Steve Schenck, who is brand representative of Labo Flex Arnie Patch. We will discuss a natural pain relief option. Steve has worked for 50 years with companies that either manufacture or retail innovative life-improving products. He has been a manager for consumer cooperatives and Fortune 500 companies. In addition, he has consulted for retailers and manufacturers in the United States and Korea. Steve, welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Before we start talking about pain relief, just share a conflict of interest statement with us, if you would.
Sure. I am a consultant for various companies, including LaboFlex, who manufactures the Arnie Patch, which we'll be talking about in part today.
Great. What is the Arnie Patch? I think I understand it's a patch. I'm looking for the correct word. It's a muscle and joint patch. I have a package here in front of me for sore muscles, bruising, and sprains. But unlike a lot of what most of people take for pain relief, it's homeopathic. Is that right?
It uses homeopathic method to transmit the product into the skin, into the body.
Okay. So what is the distinction if I say homeopathic and you say it uses a homeopathic method? What is the difference between those two statements?
Okay. I'm going to backtrack a slightly. The Arnie Patch is an analgesic, meaning it's for pain relief and getting rid of discomfort in the joints and muscles and so forth. There are various analgesics in the market. For example, whether it's in a patch form or a gel cream or whatever else, you're going to find Bengay, you're going to find lidocaine, which are more drug-based, and those are fine. And they work for people. Those are considered traditional medicine because they use chemicals to interact with the body's chemistry to affect, to create an impact with the body system. And homeopathy is the method that the Arnie Patch uses to transmit arnica, which is an herb in its original form, as a analgesic or pain relief for sore muscles and eliminating bruises and so forth and so on. Homeopathy was developed about 200 years ago by Samuel Hahnemann in Germany, and he took a very different approach to helping the body from traditional medicine. Traditional medicine uses chemicals and surgery to make a very decisive and powerful impact on the body by interacting with the chemicals or by removing skin or by changing mammary organs and so forth, or doing things to adjust that with surgery. Homeopathy uses a concept called like cures like. So, for example, something that could cause a problem with the body in its original form does the opposite when it's shaken and diluted through the homeopathic process. So you had a previous interview you did with Peter Amato, who does integrative medicine and alternative medicine. Homeopathy is part of what's called CAM, or trying to think of the correct way to say it, complementary and alternative medicine. Another term for it is integrative medicine, which Peter Amato referred to. And homeopathy, I would consider it, I use the term energetic medicine. That's not often used, but I consider it that way because when you shake and dilute a substance enough in homeopathy, there's no molecular substance left or very little left, which, you know, technically, there are people in mainstream medicine who consider acupuncture and homeopathy and some supplement medicine, such as Peter Amato talked to with supplements, quackery or fake. Well, the counter to that is that there's over 200 million people in the world who use homeopathy on a regular basis. 6 million of them in America take them almost daily. The addition to that, royalty in Britain use homeopathy for the last three generations. And the royalty in Britain is the most, what can I say? They're the wealthiest royalty in the world, the most protected, and what can I say? They're the most integrated royalty in the world, and they are the most important royalty in the world. And yet, homeopathy is part of their medicine process. And there's various aristocrats or throughout Europe who do use homeopathy too. I think Europe uses about maybe 50 million people use homeopathy on a regular basis in Europe. So getting back to what the Ana patch does, it uses hydrogel, which I'll get into what hydrogel is in a moment, to hold the homeopathic arnica in. And then when it is put on the skin, for 12 hours, it is transmitting the homeopathic arnica into the skin to help with relieving muscle pain, helping with joint pain, helping with bruising. Arnica was used in the Middle Ages by in the United States by the Native Americans, and in Europe by different doctors of the time to help the royalty themselves with their pain. But we didn't have homeopathy back in the Middle Ages, but they used it, arnica in a diluted form as an herb to help with that. So you can, there's books on the subject that were written that referred to arnica as something to use. Arnica is also available in parts of East Russia, and I think there's a different form of arnica that's in India. But in any case, arnica is the most popular homeopathic remedy in the world. Professional athletes use it. There are people who are weekend warriors, people who are heavy gardeners, people who go to warehouse work and they lift things a lot, people who rough and tumble play and get bruising, they use it too because it's very effective. And the reason I, again, called it energetic medicine is because if there's no molecular substance left, how does it work? Well, we don't know how a lot of medicine works anyway. We know that there's testing done in the labs, there's clinical trials done, and there have been clinical trials done with homeopathy. You're going to find with clinical trials that you can look in records of the FDA how there's certain drugs put in the market that go through clinical trials very quickly and are put in the market. And they're legal because the FDA approved them. Homeopathy and naturopathy and supplemental medicine, like Peter Amato talked about, are not recognized by the FDA as healing. You can't use the term heal. You can't use the word cure with alternative medicine. It's not permitted. Those can be used for drugs. Those can be used for surgery. That's just the way things are at this time. It's not permitted. However, people get results. And not all drugs work for all people. Homeopathy doesn't work for everybody. But as we know, it has 200 million people who are consistent users. And there's estimate that maybe 25% of America has used homeopathy to some degree. And, you know, it's in, you go to traditional supermarkets that are pharmacies, and pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens and so forth, many of them have homeopathic remedies in them for gels and for little tablets, which are put under the tongue to go into the bloodstream directly through the mucosa in the mouth. So arnica effectively gets rid of these pains. The quicker you put it on, whether it's a gel or the patch, doesn't really matter. However, the impact of the patch is different, and that Wuxian Labotech or LaboFlex, which is the U.S. division of Wuxian LaboFlex, Wuxian Labotech, happens to do up to 12 hours impact on the body. So you can wear it going to sleep, you can wear it going to work, you can wear it on workouts, and that's a nice thing, because some people who have a pain condition because they bumped it recently, or they have arthritis or whatever else, and they want that consistent support, it's a low dose of homeopathy, which is there for 12 hours. If you put gels and creams, they're good, but they begin to wear off after a few hours because they begin to,
dissipate?
Yes, dissipate's a good word. Thank you. And if you use a tablet, it's the same way, but this uses consistently putting it on there for 12 hours. So it's a nice improvement in terms of time for people, so they don't have to keep putting on the creams at work. It's kind of inconvenient to just carry a tube with you and then, hold on, I got to stop my work for a minute. The patch allows us to do that. So Mr. Nam, who is the developer of about 70 different products in Korea, developed the Arna patch, and we're promoting it in the United States because it is an innovative new method to address pain relief and getting rid of bruises.
So let's go back to Arnica. This is Arnica Montana, which is native to Europe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's an herb.
It's a plant with a yellow flower, and if I understood correctly from my readings, all of the parts of the plant may be used in the preparation of the homeopathic remedy. Is that right?
The flower primarily, but you can use other parts as well. The just like with any remedy, there are some people who prefer some parts because they have more of a certain oils or certain healing attributes. But the flowers use the most, and I think the root. But I'm not as certain of that. I know some herbologists, but you know, it's funny. I haven't talked to them extensively about which part of the arnica that is preferred for the homeopathic preparations. That's a good question.
And the way that you obtain, or the manufacturers obtain, the benefits of the plant is through a tincture. Is that how it works with
they get a tincture to get the herbal component. That's the most effective part. And then what they do is they go through the homeopathic process of succussion and dilution. Succussion means shaking, and or potentization, as they call it, so that as they dilute it, and as molecular substance gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and the energetic component gets communicated or transmitted into the substance of the dilution, that's where the potentization occurs. And so homeopathy uses an original substance. If it's not arnica, they'll grind it. It's like whether it's minerals or animal parts or plant parts. Then they go through the succussion and dilution. And dilution can happen thousands of times. In this case, it's 1x HPUS, which means X stands for 10 in Roman numerals. And it's a 10 dilution of the homeopathic process according to the standards of the homeopathic pharmacopoeia of the United States, which determines the dilution levels and how they should be designated on the packaging. And the FDA recognizes the HPUS. Again, the FDA does not endorse or accept homeopathic or many other forms of natural medicine as effective, but they're legal in the United States and they recognize them and make sure that they just post the information on the packaging and and on their brochures so they match the correct designation.
How much time passes between the harvesting of the plant parts, mainly flowers, I think you said, and roots, and the preparation, the dilution, I forgot what the other word was?
Succussion.
Thank you, succussion. Do they have to dry is there a delay between the harvesting and the preparation?
There can be, but the aspect there, that's you're asking two different questions. One is, well, the actual, your question has two parts. You know, two different questions. One is when they harvest, then when's the preparation for the flower and the root to go into what is considered the herbal, what the effective aspects of that herb, and then the homeopathic process. Those can be many, many, a long time apart, because when you do a preparation into a tincture, or if it's into a dry form before it goes into a homeopathic process, that can take, tinctures can last a long time, they can last for years. And dry flowers, if they're if they have the oils and the other potent aspects to them kept in a state where it's not going to be exposed to the open air, that can last for a while. So there's no set time for that, but generally speaking, it's usually within a year.
And the patch itself is manufactured in Slovenia, if I'm understanding
Slovenia
correctly.
Slovenia is a fairly new country, you know, for the last several, it's been around several decades. It's next to Italy.
That's part of the former Yugoslavia?
Yeah. It's to the east of Italy. And Mr. Nam, who's the founder of Lucian Lamaflex, built it there so he could more quickly create products for distribution in Europe. So he has a plant in Incheon, Korea, where most of his beauty products are, and his skin care, and his pain care, and his oral disintegration films and so forth are done in Slovenia.
What is an oral disintegration?
Well, have you ever, I don't know if you have, but you've probably seen them. Listerine is a popular brand name that's used for helping with improving people's smell of their breath, right? They have these little fun-looking gels you put in your mouth and they dissolve. Listerine bought the patent of that many years ago. There used to be, vitamin companies used to sell oral disintegration gels late last century. And Listerine liked the concept. They bought the patent, and that patent has now, it's over. They can't enforce the patent anymore. So Mr. Nam decided to create about 14 different supplements with vitamins and or ginseng or collagen in them, and you put them in their mouth and it dissolves within 60 seconds about. And they're small doses, but because they go right through the mouth, like same thing as homeopathic tablets. They're not homeopathic. These are supplements, but they get absorbed through the mucosa into the bloodstream quicker, and they don't have to go through digestion, which increases the amount of impact of that smaller dose, because you take a higher dose to go through the digestive system, smaller doses to the mouth, into the mucosa, into the bloodstream. So that's what oral disintegration film. It's a little, it looks like a little piece of thick tape, about the size of your pinky fingernail, and it goes in your mouth and dissolves.
A little bit off topic. If you're not comfortable, it's okay. But I understand that mint is unhealthy for your oral health because it suppresses the natural bacteria that protect your microbiome in your oral microbiome. Is that something you've heard about?
No, I haven't heard that. I have found that there's a lot of improvement in people's bodies with mint. I used to grow mint, and I used to fast. 1 year I fasted 75 days out of the whole year, and I had mint in my garden, and I used it actually as a toner. And it kept my energy up. My mouth, I didn't have any cavities. The only thing it did was it stained my teeth. And so I just had to go to the dentist to have them, you know, use a little scrubber and clean them off. But I didn't find that it was any damaging to the microbiome in my mouth. However, I know that everybody's different. And if it does damage people's microbiome, there may be, I'm sure there's ways to help that. The problem is, the problem with nutrition is we're always discovering new things and rediscovering new things. Things that were considered not useful years ago, they're bringing back. I was born in 1955. In the 1960s, Adele Davis was the big, for people who were studying nutrition, Adele Davis was one of the big influences on that. She helped people with foods and helped people with vitamins. And at the time, vitamins were considered, you don't need vitamins. Who needs vitamins? It's all in the food. Well, the soil in this country has been mined so badly. It's supposed to have about 72 different nutrients, and we only put about 8 or 9 or 10 in the soil. So the soil is deficient the way we mine it. We don't let it go fallow. We don't do anything else. And so there's various articles on the mining of the soil that might be a good thing for you to interview somebody on, in terms of, because people do need to have supplementation in this country because the soil's so bad. Maybe they need smaller amounts. And everybody's biologically different. And there was a great book, what's its name? There's a great book, Biological, I'll have to email you, but Biological Integrity or Biological, it's about the unique aspect of the body. The person who developed orthomolecular medicine, which is vitamins as a concept in terms of treatment formally, developed that he did research based on about 50 or 60 years worth of research in the 1900s on how even people from the same family, same parents, had different absorption and excretion levels of nutrients. So they would need different amounts of vitamins for optimal health. Sometimes there was as many as 10 times difference the amount of vitamin C they needed or whatever else. So I think that the concept of that mint would hurt the biome in the mouth needs a lot more research than that. I think that I've never heard that before. If it's good to have, because mint is a very, very powerful herb. But in terms of it damaging the gums, I think that'd be good to do a lot more research and really confirm that claim has some validity. And if it does, then what do some people have to, how do they recognize that's the problem, and what do they do about it to help counteract if their particular body has that issue?
Let's go back to the arnica and its effect on the body. How does it work? You were talking about energy a few minutes ago, because it's an analgesic, basically. So if I understand correctly, what it's doing is blocking the pain. It's not getting rid of whatever caused the pain. It's just blocking it. Is that right?
Well, that's what a typical drug might do. Drugs have many interactions, and one of them sometimes is suppression of symptoms, although not all drugs suppress symptoms. In this case, it's not acting like a drug. What it is, homeopathy is more of a encouraging the body to do something to address the situation. So we would say typically to block, like aspirin. Aspirin blocks pain nerves, the nerves and their sensitivity to pain or to transmit the information. Arnica, I think that there's this is a thing that I don't think is known, but I'm just going to jump on a limb here. That I don't think the arnica does suppress pain. Your pain relief occurs. The pain is reduced, or sometimes it's eliminated during that period. But it does not. I don't think it suppresses it. I think what it does, it encourages the body to address it in a way so the pain goes away. Now that's going to say, are you dodging the question? I think that we're still trying to understand homeopathy and regular medicine a lot. Regular medicine is understood a lot more because there's a lot of research done all the time. But in terms of how homeopathic works with the body, I don't think it suppresses the nerves. I think it interacts there's another nutrient called MSM, which a lot of people take for pain relief. It is used as a supplement. It does not block pain. And people who have osteoarthritis and other things often use it, and they like it, and I love it. I have osteoarthritis, and yet it doesn't stop me from doing anything. I don't usually have any pain at all. If I don't use it, it's more chronic and I feel it all the time. So it does not block pain. It interacts with the body in such a way that the pain the body doesn't have to communicate pain, because the pain is not being generated. So I don't want to dodge the question, but I think that it's not understood.
What is the source of the MSM?
MSM is originally from DMSO. And DMSO was used in horse racing for many years to help with the stress and the effort that horses put out, which, you know, it's extreme effort. In the racing quarter mile or a mile, horses put out a lot of effort. And so to really relieve the muscles and all the strain, DMSO, and then people started using it and experimenting with it. And MSM is a derivative of that, and they make it in other ways now, but that's the original source of it.
Just to go back to basics, is it from a plant? Is it from an animal? Is it a mineral?
I think it is more of a mineral base. I don't think it's from a plant. I've never been able to, DMSO, let me email you or something on DMSO in terms of original info, because that's a little more complex in terms of its source. I don't know the original source of that. I think there's several different ones, but I'll send that to you.
To go back
arnica, I don't think it does relieve pain. It does relieve bruising in many, many people. I don't know the interaction to how it works, because it's not a drug. People call it, it's called homeopathic medicine, but it doesn't interact with the body the same way a drug does.
Let me put it this way. Is it used to treat acute pain or chronic pain or both?
Yeah, both. So a person bumps themselves or has a fall playing rugby or they're playing football or soccer, you can use it right away. That's an acute right away. And but chronic would be something like arthritis, right? You can use it either way.
And the way that it interacts with the body to relieve the pain is what we don't understand, which, as I understand pain, help me out here, is that pain itself is very subjective and very complex, that it is filtered through our preconceived notions of what we expect to feel. Does that sound right?
In part, yes. I mean, you for example, people who have had pain related to an experience before, they will sometimes recall that, and if they see something that reminds them of that, that might induce them to feel that way, right? That's psychologically induced pain. It's a memory of what they've experienced before, and then they project it upon themselves. However, if you fall and you bang yourself on the ground, it's very likely that that pain is real because the body's trying to do something to address that. And the pain is the body saying, hey, there's something wrong here. I'm telling you there's something wrong in this area. You should probably do something about it. And so that is physical pain. And some people can take physical pain better than others. Some people can, they know it's there, but they just are able to tolerate it or ignore it because they have much higher pain threshold than other people. So pain threshold's one thing, psychological pain's another. But, you know, if a person gets something and a bruise occurs and the bruise shows, it doesn't matter whether they ignore the pain or not, the bruise is there. So, you know, that's a physical manifestation that everybody can see of something. And bruising is the blood coming to that area and saying, you know, we need to take this dead tissue away, this damaged area away, and send the different nutrients from the different parts of the healers of the body to repair this area. And it's a minor thing, bruises, but most bruises are minor. But that's a physical manifestation. That's real, regardless of whether the person is ignoring the pain in that area or not. So, yes, there's logical pain, but there's also, you know, physical pain. That's just whether a person wants to ignore it or not, or try to ignore it.
Where is inflammation in this picture?
Inflammation is the body's reaction to address the situation. So the inflammation is where the body is reacting to, whether it's a, in this case, that the pain, the pain that causes inflammation and arthritis is one type, and the body is dealing with that by sending it swells, so to speak, and it sends it's dealing with it and trying to take care of its own way. Inflammation is reduced when you add nutrients or you add a process to help take that away. In case of, for example, some people will soak their feet after a big day and the feet are swelling from hard work on the warehouse floor or from running a marathon or whatever else. And the inflammation is there. There was a big workout there, and it's trying to put all these nutrients and blood there to help heal that area internally with the body's own processes. So that inflammation itself is not inherently bad. However, in a situation where it's chronic and really bad, inflammation can be dangerous. And so arnica is not for dangerous situations. This is for, you know, routine, and it's like regular pain relievers would not be for dangerous situations. That's something you go to the hospital for. But the inflammation that often happens in the body, they're low level, and the body's just trying to remedy that situation. And very often it needs help because it doesn't have, it can't do it quickly, or it can't do it completely. And so that's why natural medicines or typical medicines or homeopathy are used to help accelerate amend, add to the body's healing process.
How frequent a use can you make of arnica, and in this case, the arnica patch?
You could use it all the time. It's non-toxic. The one thing about homeopathy is that it's non-toxic, which is one reason why it's considered, you know, questionable, because you can't overdose on it. There are certain doses that if you take too much, you're just wasting the product. But homeopathy, you can use it all day long. Most people don't need to, because they get the remedy and then they're better. And then if they are continuing to do their regular work, or their arthritis kicks in or whatever else, then they use it again. So I haven't found that most people use it 24 hours a day, but you could use it, the Arnica patch, 24 hours a day if you want it.
And you don't develop a resistance?
I would say you don't develop resistance to the homeopathy. However, if you were to put anything on the skin, and this is a patch, day in and day out, regardless of what the product is, you may develop a sensitivity to the skin because you're putting same thing. It doesn't leave any debris in the skin. It moisturizes the skin, but I would say the skin needs to breathe too. And you don't want to always have it covered. So I would say that you wouldn't want to use it for weeks straight in the same place and keep putting it, because the skin, it needs to breathe and whatever else. So because it's part of the natural process to be healthy, the skin needs air and light, so forth. So but in terms of homeopathy developing a resistance from overuse, I've not read anything about, and in my use of homeopathy the last 30 years, I haven't found any reaction and whatever else in my body or in any literature that I've seen.
What about the absorption? I understand that in order for your skin to absorb, let's just say something really basic like a moisturizer, a body oil or a butter, it has to be small enough or it's just on the surface but it's not penetrating. Can you tell us a little bit about how?
Yeah. So you're talking about molecular weight. So there's a term in science called molecular weight. At a certain level, I think it's 3,000, but I'm not sure, molecular weight, that's below that, you can start penetrating the skin. That may not be a correct number, but below a certain level, you need to have a smaller molecular weight to get into the skin. However, you also need, if you're going to put something in the skin, like the Honor Patch, you want to clean that area first. The reason being, you want to clean and dry it. Because there can be dust on there, there can be body oils on there, or there can be sweat, and you want it to adhere so that you're going to peel off the backing and put it on there, and then it'll adhere to that while it's putting the Arnica in for about 12 hours. So it has a low molecular weight, so it can go under the skin. That's how it gets in. Very often, creams and other things like that, which are good for the skin, they do not go that deep because their molecular weight's quite high. And that's good because you do not want many things in creams or in gels like that for skin to go into the bloodstream. But low molecular weight can penetrate down till it gets into the bloodstream. So that helps. Does that help clarify that? Or did I not address your question?
I think what you're saying is that the mix of ingredients that is in the Arnica patch has a molecular weight that is low enough, I'm understanding the concept, so that it penetrates deep into your skin and reaches your bloodstream, which is what gives you the pain relief.
It helps, yes. Yes, it does. So, because the nice thing about it is that when you think of the Arna patch does it over 12 hours and very gently, just little at a time. So it's consistently delivering a low dose of homeopathic Arnica, Monica Montana into the skin, and so it the low dose is consistently treating that area and giving the body support to address the pain and the bruises.
Is this a time release product?
You might call it that. It is not called a time release because, for example, you have these allergy medicines and you take them in your stomach, and they over time they suppress your histamine, and that's called time release. This is just basically, it's on there and it's a low dose, so it's got enough in there to it gradually releases the dose over 12 hours. So if you call it a time release, I don't think that's technically correct term, but some people might like that concept because over the full 12 hours, it's got enough to release that into your body. So I think time release is more of a drug term, so I don't think that's technically correct, but it does over 12 hours release. It has enough in there to release gently over 12 hours into the skin, the Arnica montana. So I don't want to dispute your point, but I just want to, when we're talking about medical terms, I don't want to be unclear or make a clear, or make a claim that's not technically correct.
What about differences in height and weight, or even race, ethnicity? To be precise, the thickness of your skin may vary depending on your age or your gender or your race or any other variations in your body.
Now, you're talking about biological individuality, which we all have. Everybody, like I was talking about earlier, some people in the same family will absorb and excrete different nutrient levels, even though they're born from the same parents. They will, people have different levels of when I can say affinity or ability to improve with homeopathy. So for example, if you take homeopathic tablets or gels and creams, some people may need more to address their issue. There's over 100 plus homeopathic remedies. With Arnica Montana, this is the one type dose. It one XHPUS. Some people may find that their pain levels are greater than another person, so they may not have as strong an impact on their pain as other people. And other people may find, wow, this is absolutely amazing. So I think people are biologically unique, and it's funny that that's not really discussed very much in the press or in medicine, that people are so unique. However, we do know that if people go to hospital, doctors have to be careful that they don't overdose people, because some people just have certain needs and they can't give them a certain amount of medicine because it'll be too much for them. So with homeopathy, they may find that even if they're a bigger person, they would have a much more effective impact than Arnica. And if they're a smaller person, maybe less. That is an individual situation, and that's, we don't know until the person tries it. However, we do know that in general, people, there's a group in the middle, and that's most people. They get good results with that amount of homeopathic treatment. But again, we may find that person gets the results and not as much for another person, and because they're biologically unique. I don't think there's been any research ever on body size and ethnicity in terms of homeopathic treatments. I don't think there's ever been that. If there is, I'd love to see it.
What about allergies? Because this is a relative of the daisy family, is that right?
Yes. However, remember, we're looking like there's almost no molecular weight left on this. So there's the person would have to be interacting with a chemical that is present. And it pretty much there's very little molecular, if no molecular weight left of the original substance in homeopathic remedy. So I don't think they could react to this, because the molecular substance is pretty much dissipated or almost non-existent because of the succussion dilution. I in terms of allergies and homeopathy, I'm not aware of people being allergic to homeopathic. I would say they'd be more concerned about some people react to anything on their skin. So this patch is inert. It's water and homeopathic and stabilizers in the patch. So some people might react to a patch of any kind or of a hydrogel, even if it's a skincare product. But I don't think there'd be an allergy to the Arnica itself.
Is the patch watertight? So say, for example, you were talking about athletes earlier. If you go into a swimming pool or into the ocean or take a shower, what happens to the patch?
The patch would fall off because it's not the adhesive, which is a very it's a good adhesive, but it's not made to be water resistant. So that's why if you shower, bathe, or swim, it would come off. So that's the reason why I would say to clean and dry the area before one puts it on, because you'd be reducing the amount of the ability of the patch to adhere to the skin if you had water under it. Or so if one were to run, say, in the hot heat, 100 degree heat all day gardening, that might, and it might not, depending how much a person sweats, loosen the ability of that patch to hold to the skin. But generally speaking, for most people in their day-to-day lives, they're going to find that the patch holds up very well, whether they're sleeping or going to work or doing outdoor stuff. However, if they sweat profusely, maybe that would inhibit the ability of the patch to hold on for the full 12 hours.
What about airport security? Will this trigger an airport security? Would this be allowed through a TSA checkpoint because it's a gel? So if you have a patch attached, will that go through, or is that going to cause a problem? Are they going to make you take it off?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know why they would, because generally they're looking for metals, which are objects that could be related to weapons, and they're looking for things that are hidden that are contraband. So probably not. I mean, I've never heard of anybody having, because people wear other patches on their body. I've seen people in the airport wear patches on their face for pimples, and those are hydrogel as well. And people are wearing stuff from the doctor, like they've got their arm wrapped because they had a ACE bandage on there because they're recovering from an injury or a muscle tweak. I don't think so. It doesn't make sense that they would.
Is hydrogel a liquid?
Hydrogel, when it was originally made, was a gel, so it's kind of like a gooey mass. And over the last 100 years, they have developed a way to stabilize it, so it's solid. So it has a top layer to hold it together, and it's got a middle layer which holds the water and holds the ingredients, like such as in this case the Arnica Montana, has a bottom part which adheres to the skin and delivers the ingredients into the skin. So it's solid in that respect, but it's very flexible.
How long has the Arnie patch been available in general, and how long has it been available in the United States for public consumption?
It's been available it was developed about 2.5-3 years ago, and then we did some soft promotion on it. We went to different pharmaceutical shows to get interest in it, and then we found that the packaging and the information was not just connecting with people. The packaging was just not communicating. So now we're communicating with the packaging with the Arnica flower on there, and we've been talking to the media, and we've been doing social media to educate people about it. Because again, although 6 million people use Arnica, getting a new product launched in the United States is quite a task. It's the most competitive market, the most competitive retail market in the world. And that's a good thing, but for new products, it's a challenge. So about 2.5 to 3 years. So we have gone through various launches, but they've been very soft launches just to see how people liked it and how different buyers of pharmaceutical companies and retailers liked it. So now we are focusing primarily on the education and the packaging so that when people walk by, people have to walk by a product about 10 times before they recognize it's a new product in the market. It is because there's so much in the store. And in terms of advertising, you need to have 10 impressions on a person's brain before they even, again, recognize something new, because there's an overwhelming amount of information out there and advertisements out there. I think we get exposed to, they say, several thousand impressions a day of news and ads and everything else. So that's a lot of data to process. And so we're going to mostly ignore something that doesn't really stand out. So we are now in the process of trying to stand out.
Are there other products from the same company available in the U.S. that our listeners might have seen or that might be familiar?
They might have seen them on Amazon. He's got various beauty products on there. And he has, I believe he has Venolite on there too, which is an essential oil patch for the back of the leg for people who walk too much or stand too much. It's popular in airports in Asia and parts of Europe. And so we've been doing that. So they may have seen those. And basically it relieves the feeling of heavy leg that people get from standing all the time or walking too much. So they may have seen that.
And where is it available, the Arnin patch? Is it just online?
At the moment, it's online at Amazon.com and on the LaboFlex shop, which is their home website for United States products.
So is it LaboFlex.com?
Or LaboFlex shop.
LaboFlexShop.com?
Yeah.
What kind of manufacturing facilities does the company have in Slovenia, which is where this comes from? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That one is a medical, they produce medicine patches for Europe. The EU has a GMP, they call it GMP, EU GMP, and they have certain really high standards in terms of medicine. So he produces medicine patches for Europe, different kinds of products there. And then he has the Arna patch produced there as well. And his other skin patches relate that are not beauty there in Slovenia. So he has his own research and development lab. He works with the South Korean FDA in terms of approvals for his products. And he approves them. He makes sure he has all his products in Slovenia plant be approved by the EU GMP, which is a standard for developing medicines and skincare. And then the United States, he makes sure that they are approved to be sold in the United States. The FDA approves to be sold in the United States. Again, the FDA does not approve anything homeopathic or anything for natural healing in general for helping with medical conditions or pain relief and so forth. But the FDA has to still make sure the claims are within their jurisprudence, which is what you can and cannot say.
The Arni patch, you're saying, is available throughout Europe. Did I understand correctly?
We have not launched it in Europe at this time. However, there is a company that makes homeopathics that we are talking to in Europe. And I'm not allowed to say who they are, but we are in negotiations for them to use our patch and sell it under their name. We'll see. And I think they're going to modify it slightly by adding some more homeopathics to it. But in any case, they wanted us to hold back in terms of releasing Europe so they could do it under their own brand.
What is the price per patch, or I guess it's per package, right?
Per package, I believe it's 10. I think the current number is 10 in the packet pouch. And then there, actually, I have a pouch with me. The current pouch I think it's, there's two pouches within a box, and the box has, and then, okay, there's 10. So five in the pouch and 10 total, which means two pouches in a box.
And the price?
$19.99.
And there's an expiration date. The one I'm looking at expires in May of next year.
Yeah, generally, I think they are 18 months to 2 years, I believe, was the expiration period for these. That's, a lot of his products are that period. So I'm not sure if they're going to shoot for 1 year or they're going to shoot for close to 18 to 2 years. I believe they'll be shooting for a bit longer one to last a long, because it's stable. It's stable in the pouch. You want to keep the pouch from, you know, you don't want to leave it in your car. You don't want to leave any patch of any kind in your car if it's going to get to 100 degrees day in and day out. But, you know, at room temperature, it should last that long. And you want to seal the bag and not let it dry out, because if it dries out, then everything's dissipated. So you seal the bag so you can use it. Pouches during that whole period and open them up.
Steve, thank you for joining us from Simi Valley, California.
Thank you. It was wonderful talking to you. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to address this the American audience.
And to our audience, you have been listening to Steve Schenck, who is brand representative of LaboFlex Arnipatch, who discussed a natural pain relief option. To propose a guest for the show, you can email me directly at editor@hispanicmpr.com. That's editor@hispanicmpr.com.